Praise God. You can be seated, and I'm going to pray again here as you're seated. Father, we thank you so much tonight for your love for us. We thank you for your word that it's life, it's strength, it's health to our flesh, it renews our minds. Thank you for that tonight, Father. And we look to you to lead us and guide us and direct us. We look to you to teach us from the inside. The teacher lives within us. We're so grateful, Father, that we're not on our own down here just banging our heads into the walls. We're just, we're connected with you, and that you live in us and that you speak to us. We invite you to speak to us in these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're going to, I'm going to conclude my part of talking about family matters. Last week, the last 3 weeks, I've talked about family culture. Tonight I'm going to move on just a little bit and just hit some things that I wanted to say in this series that I haven't gotten to. I know it's hard for you to imagine that I haven't said it, but yet I haven't. There are a few things. Tonight I want to talk about building spiritual strength in your family. One thing I've learned in 17 years of pastoring, it's this, that most of the problems that we have in our lives, that if we lived according to the word, we wouldn't have those problems. Not to say we would never have a problem, not to say that there would never be trouble. The Bible says that we live in a world. Jesus told us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. So because you have trouble or tribulation come doesn't mean that God's abandoned you and that, you know, that you've fallen away from God or something. It doesn't mean that. But I can tell you this, the same Jesus that told us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble, he's the same Jesus that said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome this world. And so it's not enough to know that there's going to be trouble. It's not enough to have trouble. But in Christ, we overcome. But you have to have spiritual understanding, and you have to have spiritual strength to overcome. And one of the things that I see in what really produces a healthy family and children that follow God and marriages that thrive and that are wholesome and positive and strong and productive and I may have said that already, and fruitful and all of those things, it comes from having a spiritual foundation. And like I said, many of the things that people have that are natural problems, their problems between spouses, problems in the marriage. I mean, I just think about so many things can be avoided if you have a strong spiritual foundation. So many things, even financial things, what Neil was talking about earlier. What he was sharing there about tithing and giving. If you learn those principles, it's amazing how financially things will change in your life. You know, and I mean, there's just so many things in life that are related to your spiritual life. And so it's the same thing with our families. Families, it's not like we have a family and then we get God to bless our family. No, God has shown us in his word, and that's what we've been talking about, how to live according to the word. And if you will arrange your life and live your life according to the word, things will go well with you. That's what the Bible says. That's the lesson we see, particularly under the Old Testament. People that walked with God and obeyed his commands, things went well with them. And when they didn't, it went to hell pretty quick. You know what I mean? Literally. Things got to be just really rough for them. So there's a couple of things that Jesus told us that I want to bring out in this series before we move on. Two different things that Jesus told us that I think we have to understand in building our families. And like I've said, families, I don't just mean like a mom and her kids or, you know, husband, wife, family. All of us are part of families. Last week I talked a little bit about the role of grandparents. And grandparents are critical in the lives of their grandchildren and all. But these are just things, because if you have any relationship, if you have any relatives at all or any people that you like, these things are relative to you. They're relevant to you. And one of the things Jesus said is in Mark chapter 4. If you want to turn over to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now this is, you have to understand this just as a believer, that we have to take heed to what we're hearing, what goes in us, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what's going in us.
And so he goes on and says this in verse 26, which I think this is one of those verses that in my mind, every one of us need to understand. And this is one of those things, if you're thinking, what is it I need to train my children in? This is something you need to talk to your children and your grandchildren about. Verse 26, he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now we just heard Neil a moment ago talk about how he's planted a garden and how he put seeds in some soil, and now he's got big bushes and big plants that they're eating from and giving other people fruit from. That's not shocking, is it? Because we all understand if you put seeds in the ground, that seeds, they do everything they can to sprout and to grow. And, you know, of course, there are things that come along and hinder our harvest at times, like my dog Annabelle, who loves to eat my tomatoes. But if, you know, if Annabelle isn't eating your tomatoes, you can get some tomatoes. But here Jesus said that the whole kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. You know, the process of sowing and reaping is true, and we see that. And the Bible says as long as the earth remains, we'll have seed time and harvest. But you have to understand this doesn't just apply to Neil and his garden, and it doesn't just apply to how do we get the corn that we eat. This applies in every area of our lives, this process of seed time and harvest. You hear us talk about it when we receive the offering because that's what the Bible says. In the Bible, that's what in 2 Corinthians 9, that's the when Paul's receiving an offering there, he uses the idea of seeds and them bearing fruit. But it applies in every area of your life. And this is something that we all have to understand if we're looking in our lives and trying to figure out what's going on in our families. Whatever's going on in your family, you're reaping harvest in your family. You know, and when kids grow up, they are the product of the family that they come from. And, you know, I know that that sometimes is difficult as a parent to deal with. Of course, kids are well able to make their own choices, and they do choose things that they shouldn't choose at times. But there is still this process of sowing and reaping. There still are the seeds that we put in them. And there's still what Jesus has instructed us here. He's saying the kingdom functions like this, and you have to understand how the kingdom works and that we have to take heed to what we hear and how we hear it. So that goes to our kids. And I'm going to talk more about that. Then I want to go to the second thing that Jesus said, and then I'll talk more. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Y'all ever heard about building your house on the rock? I will liken him to the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house. That sounds like a rough day, doesn't it? And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, a moment ago I said trouble's going to come. Jesus told us this. He didn't say that he who builds his house on the rock will never see a storm. And the difference between Christians and believers and non-believers isn't that believers never have storms. The same storms come. Storms of life come to everybody, every family. We all have storms. We all have certain things that are common to us that happen. We all have temptation. We all deal with death. We all live in a world where there's the curses on the world, and we're in this swimming upstream, so rowing upstream, and there are a lot of things we all deal with all the time. Sickness tries to attack bodies. Nobody's body is immune from sickness trying to attach itself. The Bible says the outward man is perishing. It's getting older. You deal with certain things with your bodies. You deal with life. All of us deal with life. But the difference is that when you build your house on the rock, and how do you do that? By hearing the sayings and doing them, hearing his sayings and doing them, then it's building your house on the rock. And when the flood and the rain and the winds come and they beat on the house, and sometimes you feel like you're taking a beating. Any of y'all ever feel like you're taking a beating? Any of you ever feel like your family's taking a beating? You go through a rough spell, some tough times, one way or another. But it says here, this house did not fall because it was founded on the rock. I know this seems a little simple in some ways tonight. Build your house on the rock, build your family on the rock, and it won't fall. But yet, we're in church tonight,
And in this same church where you're sitting here tonight, people come in and sit in this church and they live their lives as believers without building their houses on the rock. And I have seen people that have come and sat on these same seats and the wind came and it blew hard and the rain came and it beat hard on the house and the floods came up and their houses fell. And I'm not saying let's point at them and say too bad for you or ha 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 on you. What I'm saying is that would happen to every one of us. That's the potential that every one of us has if we don't take heed to what the word says. And if we don't on purpose apply these principles that Jesus has given us. The principle of seed time and harvest and the principle of found in your house on the rock by hearing and doing the word. You never get away from that. You never get too old for that. You never get too spiritual for that. You never get beyond that. It's all still seed time and harvest. What you put in you is what's going to grow and come out of you. What you put into your family is, and it doesn't matter. Well, we used to do such and such. It doesn't matter what you used to do. What are you doing now? And then the same thing with hearing and doing. Well, I used to do the word, but I don't do it anymore. Well, you used to have your house built on the rock, but you moved. You moved over to the house that's built on the sand. And you don't want to move and live on the sand. You want to live with your house on the rock. You want to hear and you want to do. You want to hear and you want to do. And you don't, there's certain things you never get away from. You never get away from hearing and doing. You never get away from that. And notice it says who hears my saying. It doesn't say who has heard. See, and that's the other thing. Well, I've heard that. I've heard the word. It doesn't say he who has heard and has done at some point in the past. That's like people that used to be tithers. You know? That's the same as the guy that used to be married. The guy that used to be married, Matt doesn't say, oh yeah, I used to be married. He is married. I didn't used to be a tither. I was a tither and I am a tither and I'm going to be a tither. It's something present. I did hear the word, but I'm hearing the word and I'm going to hear the word. I did do the word. I have done it. I'm doing the word now and I'm going to continue to do it. There's a principle there. And this, you know, if you were here Sunday morning and heard Pastor talk about not growing weary and well doing, this is definitely, you know, it's just the deal, the everyday kind of thing, the get up every day, put one foot in front of the other and do the word. And just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And some days you're just like, well, I'm tired of doing the word. I remember Carol told me one time, a mutual friend of ours, she said, I had a strange conversation with a friend of ours the other day. She said, we went to lunch and our friend said to me, said, you know, aren't you just tired of watching what you eat? They were at lunch and, you know, you get a bunch of ladies together and eventually they start talking about, yeah, dieting and food and how they either should be or shouldn't be or something. It always gets to that. Men think we talk about shoes, but we don't. We talk about men mainly. No, anyway, never mind. That was a secret. I was supposed to keep that quiet. But anyway, we don't even talk about men. Talking about men's pretty boring. What are you going to say? Come on. Isn't that the truth? What are you going to say when you're talking about men? There's not much to say. Yeah. Anyway. But so here's the point of the story that I got off on. Here's the point. So she's talking about, and she said, she just said the strangest thing to me. She said to me, aren't you just tired of watching what you eat? And she watched her order all this food. And you know, it was like, you know, Carol and I have a belief that if you eating Oreos is a sin. It might not be a sin to you, but somehow or another in our minds, that's a sin. You know, it's right up there with stealing from children. You know, it's just a sin. But anyway, so here's this friend and she's ordered this food and all. And then so like a year later, Carol saw her and was out with her again and she'd gained a bunch of weight, like 30 pounds. And it was so interesting that she had said to Carol, I'm just tired of watching what I eat. I'm not going to watch what I eat anymore. And then a year later, she has gained 30 pounds. Do you think there's any correlation? Well, you know, just like that, watching what you eat, exercising, whatever it is that you know, spiritual things work the same way. If you don't watch it, if you don't stay with it, it's what you continue to do. It's not what you do one day. It's not what you do one moment. It's what you do continually. Now, in your family, it works the same way. It's really wonderful when you get all excited and you get together and you decide we're going to start this new life and we're going to do these new things and we're going to have, you know, spiritual practices and all that. And you do all that for 3 days. And then it's out the window. It's not about that. It's what you do all the time. It's what you continue in. That's what the deal is. Now, Neil, I know you've had a garden this year and it grew up, but I remember the first year Matt and I planted a garden. We went out in April, and this is years ago, we went out in April and we dug up all the ground. And at that time we lived in the house short granny had lived in. And my short granny was a farmer, you know, on this much land. She was a farmer. She grew green beans like you could not believe. We called her the green bean queen because she could get more green beans out of, you know, 4 feet by 4 feet than you can believe. She could just coax them up out of the ground somehow. She could. I'm just telling you, she could eat all year on this little garden with green beans. So we had that. And so I'm telling Matt, that's some fertile soil. You should see what Granny used to grow in it. We'd go out there. So we hacked it up and tilled it up and did all these things and put off rows, you know, like I've watched both my sets of grandparents and my next door neighbors that were my other set of grandparents. All three of them had all these amazing gardens. So I knew how you do the rows and you plant them and you do make the hills and all this stuff. So we did all that and put it out there. But the part now that I didn't really like was when you have to go back and pull up the weeds. You know, and then you have to make sure you water it. All that part wasn't so exciting. I loved the part where you did the planting and you dreamed about the garden we'll have one day. Because I love that part. Don't y'all? Don't y'all love it when you're just dreaming about what life can be and you get all going? I mean, I'm telling you, I love that. I'll come to your house and dream with you, man. Whatever you want to do. We can just dream it up. But don't invite me back next week when we're going to have to, do something. We're going to have to actually weed it out. I mean, I might even get up for the planting, but I don't want to do the weeding, and I'm not going to get up early in the morning and go out and make sure it's all watered. And oh, that's just, give me a break. We're having a cold spell, so we might have to cover up those tender little plants. I don't want to bother with all that. So we go out, we put all this effort in it, and Matt's really busy. He's working. And so it's up to me, and you know, I got things to do, and I'm just about to go out there any minute now, but never quite got around to it. And we ended up with the biggest pile of weeds we have ever had. All we did was just make room for a whole big bunch of weeds, and we fertilized them very well. It was wonderful. Well, that's what we do oftentimes, and with our good intentions with spiritual things, is we get all geared up, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do something great, but we don't quite do it. We don't quite follow through. But with spiritual things, you know... some point you have to just make some commitments in your life. Now, we talked about family culture for several weeks, and I shared some of the things about just the culture, the family culture I came from. But here's something interesting. People often find this funny whenever I tell them this. You know, I didn't grow up in church. We went to church for a little while when I was 5 years old. We were in a Baptist church for, I don't know, for several years we went to Baptist church because that's where I got baptized when I was 5 years old. But soon after I got baptized in that church when I was 5 years old, we quit going to church. And the reason we quit going to church was because of this. My dad made the decision one day that we couldn't keep going to church because this is what he said. That on the way to church, you know, we'd all be excited. We'd get to church. We'd have service. And then on the way home, now see, Eddie's 5 years older than me, so he'd be 10. My brother Timmy would be 9 and my brother Sammy would be 11. So they were 9, 10, and 11. So they were all in Sunday school classes. And then we'd go into church. They were old enough now to start digesting what they were hearing. And after spending every Sunday on the way back, because we went to church out in South Augusta, and we'd go back to North Augusta, and all the way back home, my dad would have to unpreach everything that had been preached. See, because we'd go and sit in church, and the preacher would talk about, they'd take prayer requests. And then they would talk about how all these people were suffering, that God had given all these people these terrible sicknesses to endure and all the suffering that they had to do. And Lord, help them learn something through the suffering that you've given them. So then all the way back from the church, then he's having to unteach it. So one day he figured out, you know, maybe it'd be best we just didn't go out there to get it all put in so I'd have to weed all the way home. So, you know, for better or for worse, that was the decision they made. You understand there weren't churches like this. That would have been in 1970. There weren't churches like this. So we didn't go to church for a number of years. And we did go to church then again when I was about 12. We went to church for maybe 2 years in a church there, and I won't get into that and what was going on there, but it was basically a church where the pastor had just received the baptism. He'd been Baptist, but he'd gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gotten really excited, and there were a lot of people there kind of excited. And so some things happened. But those were my only experiences with church. Other than that, we didn't go to church. We weren't like a church-going family. Sometimes with people, you know when I grew up as a Christian, they just thought we were at church every time the doors opened. That wasn't the case at all. So then if we didn't go to church, then that means I didn't really know anything. You know, I was a Christian, but I couldn't have known much about spiritual things, right? But that wasn't the case at all. Because even though we didn't go to church, we didn't really need to go to, I mean, we did. I'm going to say that another way. Church is great. We didn't have the luxury of church in the sense that you have now. But that didn't mean, because we weren't going to church, that we just didn't do anything. Because, see, every night of my life, I went to bed. All the evening and night when you go to bed, it started when I was really little. And the only way that there were recordings were on these big reel-to-reel tapes or on record players. Well, we had right outside my bedroom door, the way our bedrooms were arranged, we had all our bedrooms were along this long hallway. And my bedroom was at the end of the hallway. Right outside my door, up on this chest, was this giant reel-to-reel tape player. Have any of y'all ever seen them? I know y'all hadn't. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. It's this little magnet, and it flows from one to the other. And it had speakers. It was big contraption like this. And it would play. And every night we'd go to bed. And it was loud because it had to be loud enough to go into all the bedrooms. Because the boys, they had them, you don't know, they had them in this dungeon sort of a place at the back end of the house with a big door, you know. They could, you know, three boys, you wanted to lock them back there. So, but it had to fit way back there. It had to go all the way back there where they were. And then my other brother, he had a room, and my mom and dad and me. So there we all are every night. That's how we go to bed. It was so much a part of, talk about just life in general and how things work. When I went off to school, when I went to ORU, when I was, I just turned 19 when I went to ORU, my second year of college, and I get to school, and I just assume every Christian that this is how they lived. So who's playing? What was playing? Oh, no, it was preaching. Oh, no, it was not music. No, it was preaching. It was Kenneth Hagin. It was Oral Roberts. You're trying to go to sleep and the fourth man's in the hallway. If y'all know what that is. Who is that fourth man in the fiery furnace of life? And, you know, and you're trying to go to sleep. It's really difficult. And so there you are. Seriously, this is my life, man. And Kenneth Hagin on all kind of subjects, and Kenneth Copeland on all kind of things, and Blood Coven. I mean, I'm telling y'all, back then there was not Terry Wiley. You know, there was not Miss Mala. That wasn't the way we were getting it. It was the full-blown adult version. Wow. I'm telling you, it was hardcore. Like, I'm just being honest with you, I have very little tolerance for kids that can't get anything out of a service, because that was all we had. If we went somewhere, it was just wall-to-wall hardcore. And I'm talking to old people preaching to you. I mean, that was all I knew, man. So you just had to get it. So there we were. Anyway, it was Kenneth Copeland, Blood Covenant. I mean, honestly, if y'all had to listen to the Blood Covenant series today, you'd be going, what was that? I mean, it's hardcore stuff, man. I'm telling you, it was. And I'm like 7 years old going. It'd scare me sometimes. So every now and then we'd listen to Hilton Sutton. I don't know if you know who that is. He just recently went home to be with the Lord. He was an expert on end times. And he would talk about the beast and the horns. I'm telling you, there were just weeks I couldn't sleep at all. The Antichrist and the Armageddon and oh, it was awful. But anyway, this was my childhood. And so every night, but anyway, my point was I get to ORU and I just assumed I did not know that everybody, honestly, I thought this is just, if you were a spirit-filled believer, you had the tapes in your hallway, and that's what you, how you went to bed at night. So it got time to go to bed that night, and I'm in a room with two other girls, and I get out my tape replayer and all that, and they look at me like, what you're doing? I'm like, well, we're going to listen to the tapes now that we're going to bed, you know, because this is so ingrained in my family culture. This is what you do. So I turn it on, and they look at me like, we're not going to sleep with that on. Who could sleep with that? And I'm like, what do you mean? Where's your tapes? Where's your... And I look around, they don't even have any tapes. Or reel to reels. Well, by then we moved on to cassettes. You know, we went through the 8-tracks for a brief time, and now we're into cassettes. So now here we are. I mean, I came to school, I had a suitcase, and I had a box of tapes. And I look around, they don't even have any. I'm like, well, you poor things. What in the world? So they talked me in. One of them found some headphones and put me on headphones. And it was hard to sleep with the headphones on, but I couldn't sleep without the tapes. But from then on, I just made sure that I got roommates that they would wear earphones and listen to something else so I wouldn't have to wear them and I could hear my tapes. But that was just how you slept, you know. That was it. That was my life. That's all I knew. And then, you know, where other people, they would go on vacation or they would, you know, and we did go to the mountains a few times. We won't go into that. Some of those didn't go so well. But anyway, but we would go. I mean, it's time to go on vacation and other people, they're going to these great and glorious places. Nope. I had a friend, her family, they went to Nassau. Well, the only Nassau I knew was I thought they went to NASA. But no, they went to Nassau in the Bahamas. I remember when she explained to me there was an, and I didn't have any idea. They'd go on all these cool trips. Yeah, no, we're going to the believers' conventions where you go and you have to get in line at 8 o'clock in the morning if you're going to get a good seat. And of course we had to have a good seat. And so you get in line at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's not so bad. But then when they open the doors at like 9 and let you in, you race to down front to get your seat. My brothers were, of course, they were crazy. And I remember they would run on the tops of the backs of the stairs. It was, you know, in big convention centers. So they could, one of my brothers could run and just hit the tops of the things, the chairs. They would hit, run on the, just so they could beat all the slow people in the aisles. You know, we can get down front and then you got to get down there and there's seven of us. So you're just saving a bunch of Christians fighting over seats. And then we would win and we would celebrate. It was great because we got these chairs. But now once you got the chair, you got to sit in it all day to keep it. So you start 9 o'clock in the morning. They start preaching. And they preach all day long. You know, again, it's hard for me to feel sorry for people that they get weary when we, you know, when the preaching goes more than an hour. Are you kidding me? I was in one service. They never dismissed us for almost 11 hours. No, and we weren't like singing and doing the Jericho march. I'm telling you, it was hardcore, wall-to-wall preaching. Like the deep mysteries kind of things. Am I lying? This is how it was, man. This was life to us. So we'd go out there for 6 days. This was vacation. You wouldn't get out of the meeting until 11 o'clock at night and you're just bleary-eyed. Of course, you know, they're not going to let us sleep. We didn't go in with our Play-Doh and our crayons and our marker, none of that. You couldn't do any of that. You had to sit your butt on that seat and look and listen. It was none of that other stuff. I just tell you, it was hardcore. Y'all feel sorry for me a little bit, don't you? I mean, 25 of these conventions I've been to. Week long, 6 days, wall to wall. Yeah, I mean, just torture to your behind and all the other parts of your body, hoping you'll get some sleep. And we loved it. We thought it was the greatest thing. Yeah, it was vacation to us. And I'm just trying to give you a taste of, like, you know, why when people ask me if I didn't go to church when I was a kid, why it was, you know, I did have some experience with spiritual things. Here's something else. You get in the car to go anywhere, like school. Every morning you get in the car to go to school. Why are you laughing? You get in the car to go to school. You knew what was going to happen when you got in the car. It didn't matter what you were doing. We didn't listen to the radio in our car. No, there was one thing. When you got in the car, the only thing that was going to happen was this. One of two things. Either it was going to be my dad says, I am the body of Christ. And then all the rest of us, I am the body of Christ. And Satan has no power over me. Satan has no power over me. And then it was saying our confessions. The only other option was, and this was really what you didn't want to happen, you hoped that was the thing that was going to happen, because if that wasn't what happened, he was going to look at one of us, and we were going to lead it. Which was fine for any of, there were three of us that we could lead it really well, but I had one brother, he was awful. He couldn't lead it, and so when it was his turn to lead, it went like this, he'd be going, and whoever was by him would say, I am the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. Satan has no power over me. And Satan has no power over me. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So it took a lot longer when he was doing it. So you'd rather it just not be him. But other than that, that's what we did every day of my life. That's what we did. Last week, David Ingalls was in town, and on Thursday we had lunch with him, and I was around him, and we were just talking about some of his, he was saying things, we were talking about some of his songs and all, and, you know, some of you know who David Ingalls are, some of you don't. If he was here and I played his music, it's not Hill songs. You know, it's not Israel. You know, it's not at all. It's not even Chris Tomlin. It certainly isn't Toby Mac. It's just David Ingalls. It's kind of a polka sort of a sound. Isn't it? It's not country, really. It's maybe a little bit, but it's more of a polka. It's more like, if I knew more about music, I could tell you it all has the same kind of timing and rhythm. But I tell you one thing. I'm of the seed of Abraham, and his blessing reigns on me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I know that, just like from all the way in me, because David Ingalls. How many songs of David Ingalls? They're just nothing but scripture and the word. That's it. And so when we had music, it was David Ingalls. But when it wasn't David Ingalls, it was confessions. And when it wasn't confessions, it was Hilton Sutton and the Beast, or it was... Now then, here's the other part. They used to. Now we have mini books. If you go back in the resource center, there's little mini books. But now, when I was a kid, they didn't make the little tiny mini books, but they made a mini book that was about this size. It was like if you took a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and folded it in half, that was the size of the book. So they're like booklets. And all the different ministers, all the different faith ministers had these. But Brother Hagin had put out many, many. He had Two Kinds of Faith and How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. A lot of those books were all the bigger books. So for years, I had to read one of those books every day. But I got homework. What's that got to do with it? You know, just as a kid, I had to, you know, that was an interesting thing. I had to read Brother Hagin's book on I Believe in Visions. Have any of y'all ever read Brother Hagin's book on that's when he went to hell. You're 8 years old and you're reading about the people screaming in torture. It was just, we didn't need horror movies, you understand? We had Hilton Sutton and I went to hell, you know, we just had it. This was just my life. And so by the time that I grew up and all, I just thought everybody was like that. I thought everybody knew all these things. It was such a shock to me when I got to ORU and these people, and they were all spirit-filled Christians, and they weren't like me, and I was so shocked. I thought they were all going to be like me. Y'all know the reason that Matt and me got together, don't you? He found out about my box of tapes. I always say he couldn't wait to get his hands in my tapes. I'm telling you, it's what it was. He married me in my tapes and my books. That's what it was all about, man. Finally, first time I ever met anybody who loved tapes like I did. It was like, wow, a kindred spirit. But I bring all that up to show you the effort that my parents went to get the word in us. because they worked all the time. I mean, all the things you would see about how you're supposed to raise your kids. They, you know, take them to church. They didn't do it. They worked till 8 o'clock at night most nights. You know, all these things. My mom worked. She wasn't a stay-at-home mom. I never came home at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and my mom had a plate of cookies and a glass of milk. Never happened ever. If we ever got sick, Lord knows you never wanted to get sick at our house. It was a total nightmare. Because what you got was they might give you Kleenex. If you were real sick, they might give you a baby aspirin. But you got a stack of books and a stack of tapes. Go to your room. You know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't put up with that if I were you. I mean, it was kind of hard. It was probably abusive in some ways, but that was the deal. But then when it got time to pastor a church, I was ready, man. If I hadn't had all that put in me, what would I have? Because I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't take all those classes and go through all that. You know, I didn't study by correspondence. I didn't do any of that. It was just there because somebody put it in me. Somebody went through a lot of effort to put it in me. Now, y'all have a church. Y'all have Miss Mala and Mr. Matt. And y'all have Miss Melissa and Miss Kristen and Miss Tier. And I shouldn't have started. You have all of them. And you have Pastor Nate and others. That, you know, their foremost deal is to put the word in your kids. Man, what if we'd had that? And see, what we never had that is so rich and wonderful is that you have other kids like you. See, I never had that. I never had any friends that were spirit-filled. I had some that were Christians, but frankly, I didn't want to be around them very much. I went to church with them a couple times, and boy, that freaked me out. Because, boy, that was some bad stuff they were getting. It was hate. Hatred. I was in a church where the pastor used the N-word from the platform. It's not a place you wanted to be. Boy, that was bad. So I didn't hang out there very much. But y'all are getting, these kids, they're getting, there's such a privilege to be able to hear this. Now, here's the deal. One of my daughters went to school with people of other faiths, had really good friends with a girl who was a Mormon, a really good friend who was a Jewish person, and a really good friend that's a Muslim. And it was very interesting to me what these people do. Because the Mormon kids, every day that they had school, they got up, they had to be at church at 6 o'clock in the morning. And for an hour and 15 minutes, they had spiritual education, what they called, you know, spiritual education. They had a special name for it. But it's basically training in their faith. And they were there at 6 o'clock ready for school at the church. And then they'd get in the car and then come to regular school, work all day at school, tons of homework, sports and all. But it didn't matter. They were going to be at church the next morning at 6 o'clock. What if we did that here? What if we said everybody be here at 6 a.m. in the first hour and 15 minutes of every day? But they did it. They all did it. That was their life. That's what they did. And then the Jewish kids, they did it too, but they did it in the afternoons. And they all learned Hebrew. And then they all, you know, observed the Sabbath, and they all did that. Now, her Mormon friend, this was interesting. On Sunday, they'd go to church for 3 hours. Their services were 3 hours. And then after that, and again, they weren't having, you know, any kind of, like, there were no drums and all this kind of, you know, something that would appeal to a young person. It was just hardcore, whatever it is they did. You know what I mean? Old school stuff. And then they could not have any contact with their friends that day. They couldn't go to the mall, couldn't go to the movies, couldn't watch TV. It was just spiritual family time the whole day. There were no exceptions. That's what you did. If there was a school event, too bad. It didn't happen. That's what you do. That was just part of their devotion. That's why they have such devotion in their lives to their religion. Because they're trained in it so strongly. Just think about that if we said that. Now, the Hebrew, the ones who are Jewish, they have their own. I said in the afternoons they'd study and then they'd do the Sabbath. And then the Muslim kids, they had something similar. They didn't go every day, but they had on the weekends. They knew Friday afternoon and evening, that was their holy time, that they would be at whatever they call. Y'all would know that better. The temple, it wasn't the temple. Mosque. They'd be at the mosque. They'd be there. But then they had, they would, during their holy, what their holy season was, they couldn't eat till after sundown. They'd fast all day. And they'd go to school with these kids. These kids would do sports. They had PE every day. They had to run a mile every day. They had their after school training with sports and all that. They did it all. They didn't eat at all. And I would say to them, well, are they like sitting there looking at you with your food wanting it? And they said, no. They know, you know, they're devoted to what they're doing. And I just think of that. I just think how weak we are as Christians. And you know, we even know, like, if you want your kid to do well in school, how many of you that have kids in school, how many of you encourage them to do their homework? How many of you require them to do their homework? But you know, here's the thing that's interesting to me. People will not come to church because their kids have to do their homework. What is that saying to a kid? Do what? Where are your priorities? Well, he has a lot of homework. Well, we're not going to come to church. We can't come to church during the school year because they have homework. Well, obviously you can't come. They have homework. What was I thinking? We probably shouldn't even have service. Well, you know, and then you think, well, we can't, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are here on Wednesday night, you know. But I'm just saying that you just start thinking about how we really live our lives. And then we have storms come and we get blown away. And we wonder why we get blown away. And we have kids and they grow up and they do crazy things. And you look and you say, why do they do crazy things? I don't know. We could come up with things. We could get into the deep, dark crevices of your past and we could do all kinds of things. But when it gets down to it, the Bible's still the Bible. Yep. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, it really is kind of simple if you think about it. Where your priorities are, like you just said, Joy, what you're doing in your life. You know, when I grew up, it was my heart to do God's will. And I've never had a day where I've been like, well, you know, I'm just going to just do what I want to do. I mean, some days I sure didn't want to do what God wanted me to do, but it's just in my heart. I'm going to just live for Him. That's why I'm here. I'm going to live for God. But I didn't get like that just because every once in a while we had a spiritual thought or a moment, or we watched Christian TV, you know, when it was convenient, or We had a calendar on the refrigerator with a scripture on it that I saw when I went to get the milk. It wasn't how it was, man. It was hardcore. It's pretty hardcore at our house. You know, my kids have homework too. Sometimes I think, my God, I can't believe the work required of you. And then you add that with the expectations that I have. It's hardcore. Don't even think about not performing academically. But on the other hand, don't be coming in here and telling me, oh, well, you know, I got this and I got that. You understand? I mean, there's just some choices. And I tell you, we just have done our kids a big disservice by not being demanding. And I don't mean not being demanding in the sense of, but not just demanding that they live for God. First, we live for God. And then we just tell them, this is who we are. This is what we do. We live for God. And it's amazing when you just establish that as the standard. I have never once, we have four kids. Our oldest is 23 years old. Our youngest is 15. I have never once, not ever, in all these 17 years of pastoring, and then even before when we just attended church, I have never once had a conversation with any of our kids where they said, well, I don't want to go to church. No, the biggest conflict we have with our kids is, Mom, I'm going to be late. You better come right now. But I've never once. That's because you're the pastor. Your kids are, God gave you special kids because you're the pastor. I'm going to give you some phone numbers tonight of some pastors I know. Because some of the most messed up kids I know are pastors' kids. It's not because we're pastors. It really has a lot more to do with, I think, the way I was raised hardcore than it does anything to do with us being pastors. I'm just telling you, we need to raise up. People talk about raising the standard. We need to raise our expectation, and we need to make some commitments in our lives, and we need to show our kids that there's only really one thing that matters. And it has nothing to do with a bat and a ball, even though, you know, God bless you and your bat and ball. It really doesn't even have to do with their academic performance. I'd rather my kids score a little less on the test and be at church. You know, I'd rather they go several days without sleep. I think how many times have my kids just gone to school bleary-eyed, their eyes swollen from lack of sleep. But they were here doing the, what do you call it out there with the Halloween? Trunk or treat. Do trunk or treat on, well, we can't do that. That's the school night. No, they'll be here and they'll do it and they'll stay and clean up. Ray Sprinkle. Ray Sprinkle's amazing. You see their kids are the best servers. My goodness, those three Sprinkle kids. I don't want those girls going to college. God bless them, but man, I'm going to. And don't you be thinking about going anywhere for a while, buddy. They have such servant hearts, but have you ever met Ray and Tracy? It didn't just, oh, look at that. Wonder how they got kids that were great servants. I don't have to wonder. I know Ray and Tracy. That's totally the answer to that question. And I'm sure, you know, I bet they've been hardcore. Pick up the broom. I don't care if everybody left. The job's not done. We're still here. Praise God. Why don't we stand? Father, we thank you tonight that you help us, you enable us, that whatever place that any of us are in, that there's help for us tonight. There are any adjustments. And Father, I know we all need to make them. We all need to shore things up. We all need, Father, to be more diligent. I thank you, Father, that there is the fruit of the Spirit available to us. And self-control, self-discipline is part of the fruit of the Spirit. I thank you that you work that up in us. But every one of us tonight, Father, there's places in us that we can make changes, but we're not looking for self-effort here. We're looking for revelation and insight. And we're looking, Father, for you to help us and enable us. It really just comes down to what is most important. Really, what are we living for? And Father, I've seen in my own life, and I've seen from my own family, and I've seen in other people in this church and their families, I've seen that when we live for the right cause, when we live for purpose, when we live for your purposes, that a whole lot of things get taken care of in our lives. That our ways become easier, that the crooked places do become straightened out and the rough places are smoothed out. It's not all totally just easy, but it is easy in a lot of ways. That you help us. Father, you've been such a help to us with our kids, and I'm thankful for it. But I look, Father, that's not just something special about our kids. Father, it's available for everybody. I thank you, Father, tonight for helping us and enabling us. And for all of us, the things that we've done wrong, Father, we just put that in the past and we look ahead here. We look ahead. And Father, I thank you for the people of Good News Church who have devoted themselves to helping to train up children, for those that have been so diligent to come and teach, and those that have worked with our young people so much. There's people who have devoted their lives to the younger people of this church in the same way that Matt and I have devoted our lives to this church. And not just Nate and Kristen, there's others here, Father. And you know that, and I know that. And Father, I thank you that those things that they sow into our kids, Father, that those things bear fruit, that there is a fruit that comes from that, that those seeds, Father, they're reinforcing what should be happening at home. But sadly, for a lot of kids, it's all they get is what they get at church. And Father, I pray for everybody, the ones that are here, and especially those that are not, that there'd be a dawning within them, that on the inside of them, they would wake up and they would see there's something a lot bigger going on here. And that if we really want the things that we desire, the only way we'll get them is by following your pathways, by following your plans for us, by putting you first, putting your word first, by hearing and doing and hearing and doing and hearing and doing and continuing to hear and to do and to hear and to do. And not just what we heard and what we once did, but what we're hearing now and what we're doing now. Father, I pray the eyes of our understanding will all be flooded with light and we can see. We can see our ways. We can see what we're doing. We can see, Father, your plans for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Father, not our will be done, but yours. I pray, Father, that your will be done in our lives. Father, it's not what we so desperately want. It's what you have for us. That's what we need. That's what will make us happy. That's what will satisfy. Hallelujah. And I thank you tonight for helping us in this series, enabling us to hear these things. Father, I just ask that you take what's been said in all these messages and that, Father, you just work that into people's lives, into their hearts, into their thinking. Help them see. In Jesus' name I pray.